like I said, we're going to do two meetings. The first meeting is going to be instruction based. It's going to be scripture based. And the plan is, by God's grace, we want to start breaking open the word. I want to help with overviews. We're going to do overview of the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Then we're going to start breaking down the different sections of the books of the law, the books of the history of Israel, the books of wisdom, the books of the prophets, the books of the Gospels, Acts, the epistles, and then the prophecy of Revelation. We want to start overviewing these things. I want to, as much as I am able to help you any way possible I can, to have a good overview sense of these books. So as you begin and continue your journey in the Word of God, that you'll be better equipped and better prepared for what you're going to be discovering as you go through the Word. So in this Zoom meeting, real quick, just so you guys know, most of you might, I don't know how well you guys are familiar with this, but we have different things in terms of interaction during this meeting. During this meeting, like I said, the first meeting is going to be an instruction-based one, which means you all are muted, but you can participate in terms of the reactions. You're free to give thumbs up, hand claps. You also can send messages. I would encourage you to maybe, if you have something you want to message to me, you know, send it to me. You can private message to me on the right or whatever. And also you're able to raise hand if you feel like the Lord gives you something insightful or important to add. But I think overall, what I would like us to do is I would like us to, if you get some insight or you have a question or something, I think it's better if we jot it down. Have your notebook, write it down, and then in the next session is when we're going to start opening those things up and going to more interaction. Because our time is limited and there's a lot to get through that the Lord wants us to get through, so I'd like us to keep pace. So the materials that you're going to need, I talked about it before, but you're going to need a Bible, you're going to need a notebook and a pen. Also, I'm going to, just so you know, my instruction, I teach out of the King James Bible, and I teach only from the King James Bible. It's the only Bible I read. It's the only Bible I study. It's the only Bible I teach from. So I would encourage you to follow along properly with me to have a King James Bible. It's going to be good for unity's sake, so that we're literally looking at the same words. We're looking at the same phrasing. We're looking at the same things. If you read another Bible and look at another Bible on your own, that's fine. But in terms of this instruction, I think it'll be most advantageous for all to all be on the same page. So just throwing that out there for us. That's some of our materials. And then, I've said enough at this point. I think let's get into the scriptures for today. So one thing that I think is important is how we approach the scriptures, how we approach the Word of God. And just talk briefly about this. But in the book of Acts, chapter 17, if you have a Bible, you can flip there. Acts chapter 17, Paul was preaching and he was going around on his journeys and he was preaching in different cities and different areas. And he preached in an area called Thessalonica. And when he preached there, it was pretty good response. When you study the letters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you see that a church was started and it was a solid church. It was a sound church. They received the truth in much affliction and they faced much persecution and they endured. So it was a solid church. But when Paul went to the area after Thessalonica, he went to an area called Berea. And in Acts chapter 17 and in verse, see if I can find it here. Acts 17 and verse 10 and 11. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." And then here's what it says about the Bereans. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Okay. What made them more noble? Okay, two things. in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So the Holy Ghost gives testimony of these people in Berea and says that they were even more noble than those in Thessalonica. And what it says is there were two things that made them noble. When they heard Paul preached, they received the word with readiness of mind. Now, this is something I think we need to cultivate in this day and age. This is a day and age where we are visually oriented, we are entertainment driven, we are easily distracted, okay? If we're going to be true disciples of Jesus Christ and students of the Word of God, we have to learn to cultivate a ready mind, the ability to listen clearly and well and follow and understand and ask questions. I see the little girl. Cute. So very important, readiness of mind, okay? We need to have readiness of mind. This is something that I want us to cultivate. So again, we're going to listen to a little instruction. Have a ready mind. Be prepared to listen. Don't be quick to jump to conclusions. It's easy to misinterpret. And then the second thing that made them more noble was that they searched the scriptures themselves to check to see if what Paul was preaching was the truth. And one thing I want to establish right off the bat with breaking bread here is that I am teaching, but ultimately the goal is not for me to be the teacher. The goal is for the Holy Ghost to be our teacher, for Jesus Christ to be the head of his body, the church. And ultimately, I'm going to teach you things, but I don't really want you just believing my word. The final authority that we're going to go by is the written scriptures. Okay? Jesus Christ said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass. So the ultimate authority here, as we gather, is not me or any man. The ultimate authority is, what does the Word of God say? Now, I understand that people interpret the Word of God many different ways. I understand that. But it doesn't matter what people do wrong. What we have to believe is we have to believe that we have a living God who gave us the exact words that he wanted us to have, and that we have his Spirit in us, and that that Spirit of truth wants to guide us into all truth. And when we believe that, and when we approach the scripture saying, yes, God has hidden deep things in here. Yes, there are mysteries and amazing things to discover. And not all of the Bible is simple. But we have to believe that if we search with all our hearts, if we continue in these scriptures, we have to believe that God will show us the truth, that he will teach us. And so that's why what I'm really going to do with a lot of this is it's going to be scripture based. We want to base it out of scripture because I don't want to just be speaking from my own mouth. And I want to show you these things from the scriptures. So I want to establish that right off the bat that let's have ready minds. Let's not jump to conclusions. Let's continue in the word and let's not just believe any man. In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, he said that we are to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Everything you hear from a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a friend, your own heart, your own thoughts, everything that you hear, you are supposed to prove it. You are supposed to test it. And if it's good, if it lines up with God's voice and his words, then we hold on to it. We hold it fast. And if it doesn't, we reject it. Doesn't matter whose mouth it comes from. Are we all in agreement with that? All right. I'm going to just see what time we got here. We got about 15 minutes here, assuming that it goes by when I started. I'm going to put some scriptures on the screen, and we're just kind of going to go through some key scriptures. Again, this is like an introduction. I'm just trying to set the stage for the importance of studying the Bible and going through all of it, not just hanging on our favorite verses, not just finding the verses that feel good, but continuing in all of the word. And I just want to kind of set the stage for that. And then also our approach and our mindset as we approach the scriptures, I think it's vital for us to develop that right mindset. So I'm going to share something here real quick. See if I can pull this up. Okay, can all of you see that? All right, so first scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is a charge that Paul gave Timothy. Timothy was a man that had been called by Jesus Christ. He was a man that had consecrated himself unto the work of the Lord. And Paul charged this man. He said, study, study. Now listen, as a man, I can speak on this note. Personally, it's easier for a man to do physical work, to do physical labor. It's much more natural and easy. To study does not really come natural. Okay, maybe to some really nerdy guys, and God bless the nerdy guys, amen. But really, study does not come natural. This is a labor. This is an effort. Okay, but Paul says study. You got to get in there. You got to pick that thing apart. You got to dig deep. All through Proverbs, you see Solomon charging his son, saying, "Man, if you would just search for wisdom and understanding and knowledge, the way that men search for gold and silver and precious stones. Look, gold, silver, precious stones isn't lying on the streets. You got to dig deep." And Solomon says, if you would search for those things the same way, you would find this stuff. And it's so much more valuable than gold. Paul says, study. Why do we study? Why do we study the word of God? We study to show ourselves approved to God. Let's remember why we're doing what we're doing. This is not for any sort of glory of man. This is not for our own glory. This is not for a special movement or a special denomination. We want to be approved to God. We have to keep in mind that we are going to stand before Jesus Christ. Every single one of us, we're going to stand before him, and we are going to give account for everything that we've done in the body. It says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everything, every action, every word, every thought, every intent of the heart is going to be brought into the light. Okay? So why do we get in the Word of God? We get in the Word of God because we'll see the Word of God is what's going to change us so that we can be approved unto him. So when we stand before him, it can be a day of blessing and not a day of shame. If you look in 1 John, you don't have to look there now, but you can look later in 1 John chapter, the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. And it talks about when Christ comes back. And there's going to be two types of believers when Christ comes back. There's going to be believers who can stand with boldness and confidence and rejoice when they meet Jesus Christ because they've lived in pure conscience and they've lived in faith unfeigned. Okay? But then there's a second group of believers. And the second group of believers are the believers that are going to be ashamed before him at his coming. And I don't want to be ashamed before Jesus Christ. I know in my own power I'm not able to do this, but he hasn't left me to do this in my own power. He's given me the word of God, which is quick and powerful. He's given me his spirit, which is our source of power. And he has provided everything we need so that we do not have to be ashamed when we meet him. And so that's important. And notice, he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. What we have here in the Bible is all truth. It's absolute truth, perfect truth, exactly what God wanted us to have. He promised that he would preserve his words to all generations. They have not been lost. You don't have to go back to Hebrew and Greek to find the word of God. You don't have to be a scholar, an expert to know the scriptures. You can be a simple, humble person with this Bible and just seek God's face and he can reveal it to you. But something you have to understand is the word of truth has to be rightly divided. And it can be wrongly divided, and it's wrongly divided a lot. Okay? You can't just take certain things out and then ignore other things. Or you can't take the wrong things for you that don't apply to you and then ignore the things that do apply to you. We have to rightly divide this word. And this is something that the Holy Ghost is going to teach us. He's going to guide us into this work. This is his work, okay? Next scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, so first thing we see is all scripture. This is important, especially in modern times. Again, most people are not students anymore. And I'm not saying you have to be a student. You don't have to be a genius student. But, you know, when Jesus Christ called his disciples, those disciples were his students. They sat and they listened and they learned. And yes, they were once unlearned, ignorant fishermen, but they didn't stay unlearned, ignorant fishermen. When you read Peter's letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, that was not an unlearned, ignorant fisherman writing those things anymore. He may have been an unlearned, ignorant fisherman when Jesus called him, but he didn't stay an unlearned, ignorant fisherman. That man was deep and that man was profound. How did he get that? You know how he got that? Because he spent time with Jesus and he spent time with all scripture. You know, we have to continue in all the word. We can't just take the parts that we like. We can't just take the parts that are pleasant. We can't just take the things that feel good. All scripture. Paul says all scripture. Not just the words are read. Not just the gospels. Not just the New Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay, something I want us to understand. Technically speaking, not all scripture is God's word directly. And what I mean by that, let me explain, is in the scripture, you're going to read about the devil lying to Eve and seducing her to disobedience. So when you read that, that was not God's word. That was the devil's word. In the scriptures, you're going to read false prophets prophesying peace and prosperity to people that are living in disobedience and sin. Those were not God's words. Those were false prophets speaking by lying spirits. Okay? In the scriptures, you're going to read lots of different things. Not all of it is directly God's word, and yet, all of it is given by the inspiration of God. All of it is exactly what God wanted us to have to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And this word is, it's profitable. The scripture is profitable. I know when you read Leviticus, you think, what does this have to do with my life? When you read the first 11 chapters of 1 Chronicles, you go, why is this in the Bible? I know, I've done it. But I'm telling you, it's all profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, it's profitable for correction, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And we can go through those things. But one of the things we have to understand is we come to the word not to correct the word, but we come to the word to allow the word to correct us. We allow the word to change what we think, how we feel, what we believe, how we see things. This is the right approach. And it's going to require all scripture. And let's keep in mind the end goal. Remember, when we meet Jesus Christ, we don't want to be ashamed. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? So the scriptures was given to us, and the Spirit's been given to us so that we can be perfect. Now, I know modern times, people hate this word perfect. And they say, nobody's perfect. You can't be perfect. Listen. I don't care what people say. I believe what God says. Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. Right here, Paul says, all scripture is given so that the man of God can be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I believe what God says. And I want to be perfect in Christ Jesus. I want to please him. There's something that's important that we have to understand is that our goal is not to just be used by God. I hear people talk about this a lot, and they're confused. I just want to be used to God. I want to be used to God. I want to do something for God. That's not the goal, okay? The devil is used by God to accomplish his purpose. Judas Iscariot was used by God to fulfill the scriptures. Balaam, the false prophet, was used by God. God actually put his word in the false prophet's mouth and he preached absolute truth in public. My goal is not to be used by God. God can use anything. My goal is to be pleasing to my Father. My goal is to be obedient to him. My goal is to fulfill the calling that he's given me and to stand before him and him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the goal. That we can become perfect in Jesus Christ through all scripture. Okay, I'm going to pass this real quick. And here's what's important. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? It's the Father's truth is what purifies and sets us apart, prepares us, makes us holy. The Father's truth. Not the world's truth. Not our pastor's truth or the denomination's truth or our religion's truth. No, it's the Father's truth. That's what we need. We need the Father's truth. And Jesus Christ said, thy word, Father, is truth. So we continue in the word so that we can hear from the Father. We can know what the Father thinks, what he believes, how he sees things, how he views things. All scripture, not just little parts, not just little nuggets, not just little bits, the whole thing, Genesis through Revelation. And again, this isn't just reading the Bible to know information. This is reading the Bible so that we, as the body of Christ today in 2020, can fulfill the Father's will. We can please him. We can stand before him. We'll finish with this. We got about a minute left. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice, you got to continue in Christ's word. You can't just feed off pastors. Now look, God gives pastors and he gives preachers. That's a blessing. They're a help. But ultimately, you've got to continue Christ's word. This is not just hearing, but this is believing and obeying. And if you do that, then you'll become Christ's true disciple. And that's my goal. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be a Baptist or a charismatic or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. No, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. And notice, he says, then are you my disciples, not just in word, but in deed. That means in action. That means the way we live, the things we do, we become his disciples, not just in lip service. And you know what? If we continue in his word, then we know the truth. We know the truth. Not just heard the truth, but we know it. And that truth makes us free. Amen? All right. I think we're out of time for our first session. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back together. And